earlier. I think I speak on behalf of my wife when I say that it's very impressive to see within one day how many people come out to reflect together on what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is, the hardest thing for us is to be far away from what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. And I think I speak on behalf of many of the people here who are true B'nai Eretz Yisrael, that we know people, we have family, we have friends, people we're close with, and knowing what's going on there, and you're over here and things are continuing as usual, it's a very difficult thing to experience, and it's important to have the opportunity to think and reflect together, and that's important for us as well, and I want to thank people for giving us that opportunity. Just to share with you a little bit of an idea of the power of how this event is affecting people. My wife and I are in Kamel Shavam. We thank them for giving us the opportunity to come tonight. And this morning I went into the office of the director, for those known, Alan Silverman. He went to Ben Tinek, if I'm not mistaken. And I wanted to speak to him because I really can't speak now. And I came back later, I really can't speak now. Turns out his son and his unit went into Lebanon today. And they heard that two of the soldiers were killed in the unit. And they didn't know who. And so he spent the day trying to find out if his son is still alive. As far as I understand, he found out information that he's okay. Just to give you a sense, you're continuing your life, you're working, you're taking care of that, and you're trying to find out on the side if your son's alive. And that's a very difficult emotion to have to deal with, and I imagine that most of us don't have children in the army, but we have cousins, or nephews, or friends, and you don't have to be in the army to be in danger right now. If you know anyone who lives in Israel in the north, or even in other places, it's a very worrisome time, and that worry should be directed towards reflection. And I understand that that's the purpose of saying Tehillim and also of thinking together. And so I'll share with you some of the thoughts I have, particularly at this period of time. We'll look at some makorot that have to do with this period of time. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is unique because it's a ta'anit that does not appear in a vacuum, like Asar B'Teves, which appears in the middle of the winter, it comes and goes. And it's also not a ta'anit that ends a period. Yom Kippur is the conclusion. There's a build-up to Yom Kippur. You hopefully achieve what you achieve and you move on to the sense of relief. Everyone knows the famous Ruracham Vort, that we say Ruracham right after Yom Kippur because we sigh the sigh of relief, and that's the first chet. Tisha B'Av, you have the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Shavu Shechal Bo, Tisha B'Av, and you move on. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the beginning of a period. You have a Ta'anut that notes the beginning and it continues the day afterwards and intensifies as it moves along. And I think this is not coincidental, but indicative of something about Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and the period of the 3 weeks that begin then and end with Tisha B'Av. Tonight is the end of the first of those weeks. Last week at this time we were preparing for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. It's a good time to reflect on what the 3 weeks are about, or what to be about. The first, and hopefully the next two, and to see how these ideas relate to the events that we're experiencing right now. The period of the 3 weeks is described in the literature of Chazal as Bein HaMitzarim. Bein HaMitzarim. And I think it behooves us to see where that term comes from and through that appreciate its implications. Pasuk in Echa, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel says, Galta Yehuda Neoni Merov Avodah, Ki Yashva Vagoyim Lo Matza Manoach, Kol Rodzeh Yisigua Bein HaMitzarim. All of those who pursued Zion, reached it, caught up with it, in the time period called, or in the place of Bein HaMitzarim. Rashi explains the term Bein HaMitzarim. He says, Gvulim shel sadeh v'keren. The borders of a field of a vineyard. So according to Rashi's first shot, it's a place. What is the significance of this description? It's a place where you're boxed in. Bein HaMitzarim. There's nowhere to go. It's a dark alley, which has a certain intimidation to it because there's no way out. This idea of Bein HaMitzarim, of Tsar, we see, for example, by the Aton of Bilam. You remember from Parshat Balak, Malach stands in front of the donkey, so he goes off the road into the field. He stands in front of him again, he goes into the vineyard. The third time, it says, Vayosef Malach Hashem Avod, Vayamod B'Makom Tsar, Asher Ein Zerach Lintot Yaminu Smo. Very often we encounter difficult times, tragedies, challenges, but generally there's a way out. There's a way to respond. There's something to do. Bein HaMitzarim is typified by a person having a feeling of being locked in, facing a challenge that's frustrating and that there's no way around. I think it definitely seems that way when we look at the situation in Israel. This is not the beginning of the problem of the northern border. There are probably people here who can tell me things that happened before I was born. And you wonder whether this is the beginning, middle, end. Doesn't seem like the end. And it's frustrating because it seems that no matter how you respond, it's just something that there's no way around. It's Bein HaMitzarim. The walls of the city have been pierced. The things we relied upon and felt secure behind were shown to be really non-protective. And now we're under attack. There's no way to turn things back. There's no way to avoid it. There's no way to run or flee. We're Bein HaMitzarim. Rashi then adds in Midrash Agadah, and of course Rashi's sensitivity to the distinction between Pshat and Drash, but Drash building off of Pshat, Midrash Agadah Bein Shiva Asar B'Tamuz L'Tisha B'Av. Rashi moves from place to time, and obviously there's a connection between the two, and that this time period expresses this idea of place, of being locked in, of being the Makom Tzar, of being limited. A process has begun that cannot be turned back. We're facing it, we're stuck with it, we're in these straits. There's a second implication, I think, of Bein HaMitzarim, of this period, that appears in Rashi in a totally different context than, say, for Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Navi is shown the vision of the Makal Shaket. He sees the stick, the almond stick. Hashem asks him to tell him what he sees. He reports, Makal Shaket and Yoreh, Vayomer Hashem Elai, Hitavta Lirot, you've seen well. The stick is symbolic of the fact that I am intent on speedfully, quickly bringing the result that I've intended for the Jewish people. Rashi explains the significance of the almond stick. Okay, the simple shot is the almond is a stick that buds early and I'm intent on bringing the punishment quickly. Umidrash Haggadah. Hashakeda zehu mishat chanitato admar bishelo 21 yom. It takes 21 days from the bud to the completion of the fruit. Kiminyan yamim shebein shivasar v'tamuz shebo hufka'a ha'ir v'tish'a ba'av shebo nisraf ha'bayim. Here again we have the sense of the inevitability. A process has begun, not only a process that's going to complete itself, but a process that's going to complete itself quickly. And the quickness, the sense we have that it's going to happen quickly, further intimidates us and causes us to wonder whether there's any way to change the result. So these are the implications of this period, as mentioned by Rashi, and these are the earliest sources in connecting the period to an idea, the significance of the period being limitation, being in a makom tsar, and inevitable quickness. There's something happening, there's a process with momentum that cannot be stopped. This is an intimidating prospect, but one that I think is implicit in the sources of Bein HaMitzarim. But I think there's a flip side to this as well. And the flip side can be appreciated by contrasting Shiva Asar B'Tamuz with Tisha B'Av. And this contrast is, I think, one that the Mishnah aims for us to see in presenting Shiva Asar B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av together. If you look at the last source on the first slide, Mishnah, the end of Masechet Ta'anit, speaks about both Shiva Asar B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. By the way, it's the only two that the Mishnah mentions. It doesn't mention the other Taniyot. And it mentions them together. Chamishat Varim Ne'erut Avotenu B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. Five happened on each. Then the Mishnah lists the five that happened on each one respectively. It doesn't list one and then the other. It lists them together and then specifies. There's even a lot of questioning amongst the Nefarshim of, is it really five? It depends how you count them. It seems that the Mishnah goes out of its way to create this parallel, which begs the question, or begs us to look at and reflect on, the relationship between these lists. I think if you look at the list, there's something very striking that stands out. There's a difference between what happened on Tisha B'Av and what happened on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. What happened on Tisha B'Av, each one of the things were finality. They were a clear end. They were an end that we hope to fix. but an end that could not be turned back, an end that could not be stopped. It wasn't part of a process. It was the completion of a process. For example, the Tisha B'Av nigzar al avotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz. The gzera of the Meraglim was final. There were even Jews who hoped they could reverse it, right? The Mapilim who woke up the next day and said, Chatanu, all of their feelings were correct. They said everything right except for one thing. Hashem said it's too late. Tisha B'Av is a day when it's too late. So to the other events. Churban HaBayit, obviously it's correct. We hope that it will be rebuilt, but it's charev. Similar thing with the capturing of Beitar, the threshing of the city. The threshing, it's not just the city is captured, but it's threshed and the ground is changed as much as humanly possible for us to change it. And therefore, Mishenichnas Av Mema'atim B'Simcha. It's important for us Ashkenazim to remember. Sorry, Sam. The other people. The Ashkenazim to remember that the core of the 3 weeks are the 9 days. We Ashkenazim add elements before, but the miut of Simcha begins in the 9 days of Av, because Av is the month when the tragedies occurred, when the tombstone was placed down, when there was no turning back. And that's why there's mourning on Tisha B'Av and none of the other taniyot, because we mourn for something that's lost. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is not about mourning, and that's why the observances on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz are like any other taniyot. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is about reflection. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the strongest day of reflection, because we got the strongest hits, the strongest crashes, the strongest shattering of symbols, but not finality. B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz nishtabu aluchot. The luchot were broken, terrible traumatic event, but not the end. There can be second luchot. In fact, the Shivrei Luchot can continue as part of our tradition in the Aron and can bring all kinds of interesting phenomena for the Jewish people that are positive. It's bad. It's a punishment. It's striking. It's an indication of something terribly wrong that could be the end. But it's not the end. Batala Tamid, Hufka, Ir, the walls of the city have been pierced, but the Beit Mikdash is not yet destroyed. Each one of these things are terrible tragedies, and especially on a symbolic level. The burning of a Sefer Torah, the putting up of an Avodah Zarah in the Beit Mikdash, and you can set up these lists and see them all to be parallel. Putting a tselem in the Beit Mikdash is an indication that the Beit Mikdash can be defiled. It's in anticipation of the Churban, but the Churban has not yet happened. The question is how people react to the breaking of the Luchot before it's too late and the Gzeirah is made that they're not going into Eretz Yisrael. A year elapses in that time period. Are people going to learn from the smashing of the Luchot or keep making mistakes and leading the process towards the ultimate end, in the real sense of an end that can't be turned back from? Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is a day where something terrible happens that's already showing you where things are leading. Leading quickly. Leading in a way that seems to imply that there's no way around it. But there is. And the challenge is for us to see that and reach the proper conclusions that can help change the path. The Rambam explains earlier on, side one, the Rambam explains that there are two types of taniyot which share one common goal. The first kind of taniyot is one that's instituted in response to terrible events happening in the present. The Rambam says, Perek Aleph, Parakha Aleph of Hilchot Taniyot, Mitzvat Hashem in HaTorah Lizoku Lahariya B'Chatzotzot Al Kol Tzara Shetavo LaTibur. Mitzvat Hashem to cry out with Chatzotzot, and the Rambam later clarifies with Tfilah, to make a ta'anit on any tzara that's occurring. The Rambam explains the meaning of this in Al-Chabet. Zavar zeh midarkei ha-tshuvahu shebezman shetavo tzara v'yizaku aleha v'yariyu yed'u hakol shebeglal ma'aseyem ha-ra'im hura lehem. It's a response to the people realize that what's happening is happening because of the mistakes we have. These ta'aniyot we have in Eretz Yisrael when there's a lack of rain or other types of events. The Rambam explains in Parakei that there's a second kind of tani, the one that we observed on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and hopefully we won't, but we may very well observe in Tisha B'Av. Yesh yamim shekol Yisrael mitanim behen nitnei hatzarot she'eru behen. There are days we fast because of events that happened in the past. Kedei lo'orer ha'levavot v'lestoach darkei tshuva. These taniyot also are to inspire tshuva. V'yeze zikaron l'ma'asenu ha'ra'im u'ma'aseh avoteinu she'haya ke'ma'asenu atah. These days are days of reflection on our deeds, our problematic deeds, and the deeds of our forefathers that were like our own, ad shegaram lahem vilanu otan atarot, till these deeds caused them and us the same type of suffering. Because this reflection will help us do tshuva. The Rambam says something very profound here. He says the taniyot based on events of the past are also to lead to tshuva, but a different type of tshuva. How do the events of the past inspire us to do tshuva in the present? How do we relate to those events? The Rambam explains that we need to realize that if the events of the past have not yet been repaired, it's an indication that the sins that caused those events are still present. And that those type of events, the tragedies of the past, continue in the present. So the Rambam says, when things go bad in the present, we respond to that with a ta'anit. And events of the past, we respond also with a ta'anit because we assume that events like that are happening in the present. Why do I go through this? Because these were the thoughts that were on my mind this Shivat Sarva Tammuz. The tension between fasting for events in the past, the relevance of those events today. Are they truly relevant? Can we see events like the past in our own lives today? It's not so easy. Those who reflected when Rabin was shot on the Tzom Gedaliah that came the year afterwards obviously understood this in a much more powerful way. The sins of the past are still around today, causing for the same types of tragedies that occurred then. But in 1993, did we appreciate it? Did we see already those same type of buds of the events of the past and the present? When we fast Asara B'Tevet to commemorate the sieging of the city, do we sense the siege that we have in our own times? Because the events of the past are like the events of the present, because the sins of the past and present are the same. In past years on Shivat Asar B'Tammuz, did we feel a vulnerability? Did we feel the fact that the Luchot could be shattered, the Torah could be burned, the Tzelem could be in the Beit Midrash, the walls of the city could be pierced? And if we didn't feel it, did we feel it this year? And if we didn't yet, are we feeling it now? If someone would have told us 15 years ago that missiles would be fired on Haifa, I don't know if we believe it. The piercing of the walls that we rely upon, the sense of deep vulnerability. That's one thing, they fire missiles, we've heard about that. Buildings collapsing. Yesterday there were two children playing in the street who were killed with a missile. To understand what that means, the sense of everyone, everywhere, is a target. And it doesn't make a difference if you go on the buses or you don't go on the buses, because we're very good at avoiding those things. You can be at home in your living room, you can be on your porch last week. A woman killed with her grandson in Nahariya. The sense of complete vulnerability. The events of the past continue today, because obviously the problems of the past continue today as well. This year we should be feeling more powerfully the events of the past and the present. And the significance being, not to be morbid, but to look for the problems that caused those events in the past within our reality of today. This is what we need to be doing. And to understand that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the beginning. And to believe that we can change these processes. If we recognize it's a beginning that's a dangerous beginning, but something that can be turned. If we turn the page, to side two, there's a beautiful usage of this Makal Shaked imagery by Yirmiyahu later on in the Sefer. Yirmiyahu says, Hinei amim bayim nu Hashem, v'zarati et beit Yisrael ve'et beit Yehuda zera adam ve'zera be'ema. V'haya kasher shakadati aleihem lintosh v'lintot v'laharos u'lahavid u'lehara ulharea, kein eshkod aleihem livnot v'lintoa nu Hashem. Just as I was quick and intent in destroying that same zrizut, the same intensity, the same quickness can occur in the building and the planting, says Hashem. We believe that Hashem can bring suffering quickly, but because of his control of the world, that same quickness that can bring suffering can also bring a reversal. If you believe in the natural course of nature, well then you really can't believe that things can get better quickly, because these things take time. But if you believe that God is there and can quickly punish, he can just as quickly repair. And this is a basic part of our belief system that is really the only basis of us having hope that things can get very better. But they can get very much better if we recognize the ability and make the change. It's a very interesting Midrash Rabbah that I don't know if people truly appreciated until the last century. The Alexandri Patach Shakarati Vayekati Tipor Bodeir Al Gag Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shakarati L'Hachnis Banai L'Eretz Yisrael. I was quick to bring my children into Eretz Yisrael. Looking beyond the miraculous nature of the return of a people to their land 2,000 years later, which in and of itself is shocking, the speed with which this occurred is unbelievable in historical terms. The idea that an official Zionist movement could start in 1890, 95, 96, 7, depending on what you see as the beginning of it, and that 50 years later there's a state, is without comparison. The speed of how history worked to facilitate it. That speed is supposed to impress us and show us that there is a hand that responds to our deeds, and that things can change very quickly. The same Makel Shekel, the same almond that plies the quickness, the short period that goes by, the limitation, the period where we can't get around what we're confronting, that need to face it can also help us internalize, face it, and change. The Rambam has a beautiful place where he expresses this in Hilchot Tshuvah. The Rambam says, Kol Nevi'im Kulan, Sivu Al HaTshuvah. Ve'ein Yisrael negalin ele b'tshuvah. U'kvar zicha Torah shesof Yisrael lasot tshuvah b'sof galutan. U'miyad hein negalin. This sense of miyad. The sense of it can happen right away. The almond tree. I don't know if people know the story of Rommel's army in 1942. Most people know the general story that the Germans were moving very quickly through North Africa and through the deserts. It really had a shocking pace. Some days 40 kilometers a day, they were quickly approaching Eretz Israel. I'm sure some people know the general history that there were people, mass preparations for suicide in Israel based on the Masada model of people poisoning their children. You read about this really horrific descriptions of what people in Eretz Israel were anticipating. But I don't know if this part of the story is well known. The army was of course moving in the summer, and the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael called upon people to fast the fast of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which was right around that time, with renewed intensity. And it's recorded from the period, if you read the writings, that almost the entire state fasted that year in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, state, entire Jewish people in Israel. And it's noted people who were communists, people who had rejected religion. And it was on Masoi Shiva Asar B'Tammuz that America announced its entry into the war, which turned the tide in many, many different ways, and the historians can describe it better than I can. And Rommel's army was stopped at Al Amein, etc. Matzai Shiva Asar B'Tammuz was when the announcement in Israel was heard, and people saw this certain sense of there's an impending danger that can't be reversed, and you fast and you reflect, and somehow it is reversed. And of course, in many ways, that was the beginning of what led to the facilitation of the formation of the state in the modern terms, the reversal of the German army, the British realizing that they needed to build something there in that area. So in other words, Bein HaMitzarim is meant to intensify the process, to make us feel that there's something impending, something there's no way around, and inspire us to want to seriously do something about it. Doing something about it, of course, means much more than saying Tehillim and reflecting. And in Israel, hopefully, we have those who are doing their best to do something about it on one level. But we, for sure, in addition to lending support in whatever way we can, we need to be thinking what we can do about it. What are the problems that led to those events then and leading to the similar events now? Way beyond the scope of a short night like this to talk about the causes of the Churban, and people have read about it, and I assume over the next weeks we'll continue to read about it. And obviously what we should do over the next 2 weeks is that reflection, but a reflection with a certain sense of intensity, of urgency, and a feeling that we need to do something about it quickly. I'm definitely not one who can comment on Tzibur as a whole, and for sure not here in America, but we know that one of the major causes of the Churban is Sinat Chinam, and how we relate to other people. And it's unfortunate that it's too rare when we come together in a real meaningful way. And unfortunately, what brings us most together are the intifadas and the bombs and the wars. And that's something to reflect upon. What can we do to feel more part of one people? Not through tragedy, but through common purpose, or at least common heritage, or common something, and feel better and stress the positives that can bring us closer together. I want to conclude by looking at a Mizmor Tehillim appropriate for tonight, Mizmor Kuf Yud Chet. The reason I chose Kuf Yud Chet is because it has within it the elements of Sar, of feeling caught, but at the same time it has within it the Yeshua of leaving from that, of Hashem responding to that and having redeemed. It's not written from the perspective of people who've already experienced the redemption, who are responding, Hodu Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasdo, a call to all of the groups of the Jewish people to together recognize this common recognition of ki l'olam chasdo. Pasuk Hey begins to recount what occurred in the past that leads the author, the singer, to recognize this tremendous chesed of Hashem. Min ha-netzar karati ka hanani v'amerchav ka. The change here is about the feeling. The chesed of Hashem is in helping us move from a sense of tsar to a sense of merchav. And that's exactly what we should be looking for in the Bein HaMitzarim, and particularly this year. A sigh of relief, a sense of space, of security. And the singer here is talking about how he cried out min ha-mitzar and he was answered with merchav. Or he feels now that merchav, and the merchav is so much more appreciated. But there's a uniqueness to the cry that one has min ha-mitzar, whether it describes the place or whether it describes the time. And the person, through this cry being answered and this feeling of merchav, of harchava, now speaks with confidence, Hashem li, Hashem is mine. Very interesting term. Not Hashem iti, Hashem li, lo ira. Maya aseh li adam, Hashem li beozrai. Even an emboldened sense of, no one can touch me, because Hashem is there helping me. V'ani areh b'sonai. This mizmor is known for its pairs of psukim, now reinforcing what maybe he didn't realize before. Tov lachasot b'Hashem mitoach b'adam. Tov lachasot b'Hashem mitoach b'ndivim. It seems like maybe before he had relied on others. To renew our reliance on Hashem, to renew the recognition of ultimately the Yeshua coming from there. And the theme which threads the Mizmor, particularly in the second half, the theme of Yeshua. V'chod dechitani limpal v'Hashem azarani. Again the Ezra. Aziv izimrat ka. Taken from Shirat Hayam, the strength, the azi, feeling of internal strength being based on the fact that Hashem is there as Yeshua, again in Pasuk Tedvav, in Pasuk Chavalev, throughout, the personal relationship expressed, particularly at the end of the Mizmor, Keli Ata Ve'odeka, and back to the Hodu from the beginning, the Keli Ata, the sense of the personal relationship of closeness that emboldens as a basis for the Hoda'ah. Hodul Hashem Kitov Kulam Chasoas, coming back to the beginning. The hope that these type of events, the feeling of sarut, of mugbalut, of being confronted with something we have no way to avoid, and something that seems to be moving speedily in the wrong direction, hopefully being the beginning of something better, if we reflect and are able to cause a reversal of the process just as quickly as it seems to be heading in the wrong direction. I think that for many of us, people who were hesitant and nervous about the events of the last 15 years in Israel, whether it's the Oslo process or the retreat from Lebanon, and even those who were positive about it, being nervous about the possible implications, to many of us it seems that there's been a process that's been going on for 15 years of a slow deterioration in Israel's defense, in Israel's creation of vulnerability. And a sense that it's only getting worse, and the question is how long it will take. That may be true. Only history will know how true it was or wasn't, and whether decisions were made were right or wrong. That's less relevant than where we go in the future. And the question that's central for us in deciding how to react to what's going on is whether we believe that as quickly as things got bad, they can get better even more quickly. In order for people to have the ratzon, the motivation, to want to make a change, they have to believe that events can change too. And that's basic to Bein HaMitzarim. And hopefully if we internalize that and sincerely believe that things can get better, we can make the changes that can facilitate a change for the better. And hopefully that will indeed happen Bein HaMitzarim.